You're listening to Our Faith, Our Country, the podcast that discusses walking with Christ and ties faith to America's foundation. Here's your host, Jason Bryant Jennings.
Genesis 2:2-3. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing, so on the seventh day he rested from all his work. The connection here is Article 1, Section 7 of the U.S. Constitution, which deals with presidential veto power, and says, if any bill shall not be returned by the president within 10 days, Sunday excepted. In looking at this, one must conclude that our founding fathers understood Sunday was a day for God and reflection and not for work. Today's guest spent time in the NFL with the New York Jets. He is the CEO of Esports Instruction and a board member for the organization of West Adams Christian Athletics, which provides a basketball league for young people in the Los Angeles area. Reggie Grant, welcome to Our Faith, Our Country.
Thank you for your inviting me. I'm glad to be here today.
How important is it for us to respect Genesis 2:2-3 and keep Sunday as a day of relaxation and reflection, especially with how fast-paced our country is in today's times?
Life is fast-paced. I live in Los Angeles. It's on steroids in terms of fast-pacedness, so you just have to find the time to have quality of life. Teach every situation about how can you have quality of life, right? How can you best manage your time, energy, effort to elevate your family, those in your community, and those around you based on the Word of God? The bottom line is you just have to use the Word of God as your armor against all of the things in the secular world. Not to say we are all sinners. The whole process is to ask God for forgiveness, to do those things that you can do the best, make you a good person that adds value to people's lives, which will add value to your life. See somebody today, you know, tell somebody you love them, elevate somebody around you, do something positive. And those are the kinds of things that I glean from the Bible. And I try to live my life in a way that elevates other people. I'm a person known to have little tact. I tell the truth, but sometimes it's being in trouble. As a teacher, I was an English teacher for 17 years. I was always in trouble with the administration because my deal was, I wanted to elevate those children in my classroom and help them to become the best people they could be. And so that was sometimes, many times, in conflict with what they want to achieve. But my kids always had superior improvement in their test scores. I have teachers come to me and ask me, well, why is this student getting named in their class? And he won't even open a book in my class because you don't treat him with dignity and respect. One of the biggest things we're lacking in our society today is lack of civility. And we don't have to agree with everything about everybody, but we can have a conversation without trying to hurt, maim, or denigrate somebody else.
Reggie, how did your walk with Christ start? And tell us some of the things you've learned during your walk.
Well, again, we all fall off the rail. We all fall off the train and get off focus. We are human beings, right? That is why Jesus gave his life for us, so that we could be forgiven for the things that he knows we're prone to do, right? We have control, we have choice, and we need to make those choices that elevate us in a positive way. And of course, you know, my parents introduced me to the Word of God when I was young. It helped me to see things from not just a worldly perspective, but for understanding there was something bigger and more important than myself. My journey has been like most people's journey, trials and tribulations, ups and downs, but you have to just stay the course, try to do the best thing that you can in terms of following the Word of God, and then you do fall off the rails, get back on and ask for forgiveness and get into your Bible. And I wrote an article that's coming out in the spring with the United Methodist Men that was, I'm on the General Commission for the United Methodist Men's Board of Directors International Board out of Nashville, part of United Methodist Church. I've been on that board for about 9 years. And the articles about racism are like a volcano waiting to erupt. And we just have to just be aware of what's going on around us. We don't always have to disagree, but the Word of God is consistent. We shouldn't be skewing it one way or the other to our benefit. We should just be trying to live our best life. And my journey has been ups and downs, lefts and rights, twists and turns. But you just continue to stay the course in terms of believing Jesus Christ, believing in that the Word is true, it is real, and it can help you to have your best life. And no matter what challenges you face, right? You should always be based on that. Last night, I was standing outside and I'm thinking and going through my little meditation process before I often do creative things and write at night. No, it's too bad. I haven't said thank you, Lord. Just thank you for the day. Thank you for the opportunities. Thank you for letting me be me. Thank you for the family I was born into. Thank you for all the places I've been and the things I've had the ability to see. And thank you for allowing me to be in my children's life, right? Children are God's greatest gift. And it changed my life when I had children many years ago. But it's just a dynamic of a process of believing, staying steadfast in your conviction. And don't let the world get you off track too much where you can't get back on track and you stop believing. He is real. The word is the word. And I just believe that you just have to stand up for what you believe in. And so I try to do that on a daily basis.
Reggie, what are some of your favorite Bible verses?
1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness.
I want to go back. You mentioned being a teacher. Talk about religion in school and what you've seen over your time.
It's not allowed in unless you are in a religious school, right? So the public school systems throughout America, we've legislated religion out. And that has been a detriment, even the pledge of allegiance instead of most schools anymore. And I was a kid, they had prayer classes. They don't allow those kinds of things to happen anymore. And it's up to the parent and anybody that comes in contact with the children to be able to help to elevate them and open their eyes to the fact that God is real and he is worthy of being edified and that he will change your life if you believe and you follow and you act in accordance to his word. In terms of the school systems, again, I was a teacher for 17 years in Los Angeles, primarily public schools, and I also taught international schools. So the last 10 or 12 years of my teaching career, I was teaching international students. So I have a wide range of relationships and understanding of the school system. The school system is dysfunctional. I have another book in me that's about the dysfunctional school system. Whether or not I ever finish it is another dynamic. But it is sort of true because they say money is the root of all evil. And politics and politicians manage the money. They have administrators, their own rule, their own set of expectations and things that they're trying to adhere to get that money, right? Then you have the teachers, the frontline soldiers that are in the classrooms with the young people that are, for the most part, trying to do the right thing, care about their students, and want to make a positive impact and elevate the kids in their lives and the students in their classrooms. So the educational system has pushed God out of the classroom, out of the school system, on the public side. The private side is still allowed to do what you want to do. But on the public school system, where the majority of our students are, it is not in part of the process. You can't even have those kinds of conversations as a teacher in the classroom. You can get fired for that. Definitely get some pushback from some of the parents and some of the people. And some of the stories that I can't tell on this podcast about people and their kids and the things they do would make your hair curl, make your stomach just want to just blow up, things that you see as a teacher. But most importantly, as a teacher, you want to still continue to make a positive impact on the lives of the children that you come in contact with. And, you know, it was amazing because 99% of the kids are looking for love and elevation. The school systems provide a lot of what the kids need in terms of support. Sometimes, many, many times, it is the most positive place in their life. It is the safest place in their life. If we did them a disservice when we took religion out of the school system to embed that part of the process, because so many of the parents don't get their kids into church environments. They don't get their kids in the places that they can meet other people that are doing the right thing, that believe in God, that are trying to live a good life. Not to say all the people that go to church are living good lives or perfect lives, but they're in an effort to do that. So you have to have some level of respect for those people. But the school system has done our kids a disservice. I am just happy that Ms. DuVos is not Secretary of Education. So even though we don't have religion in the school system, we should have a better school system going forward, for at least for the next 4 or 5 years. I just pray that we can be more proactive in terms of elevating children to our future.
NFL teams have team chaplains and player development departments. Reggie, discuss both of those and some of the things you've been able to do since leaving being an active player to help guide not only current players, but also upcoming players and former players as well.
Player development really is about keeping the professional athletes in a space that they do the right thing and reflect positively on the team. That's truly not a development department. In the natural sense of the word, the team chaplains are there and they do have a positive impact. Guys will have conversations then and now more with the chaplain than with the people in the development department. Just kind of a little background, I'm on the board of directors for the National African American Athletes. For the last 29 years, we presented the Premier Award for African American Male Scholar Athletes, the Watkins Award, that's n4age.com. We put 150 kids into the NFL. We've had Shane Battier, Bavarian, and Bob Ogilwicki, Ken Ginn, Hama Masakwai, Justin Blaylock, Gerald McCoy, Haskins, Bryce Love, Barrington. So we always have 20 and 30 active kids. So I'm still kind of tied into the pulse of what's going on with the young people. Javier Posey, who was in Ohio State, and then went on and played, was drafted by Houston, played 5 years in the NFL. He's on his fifth year in the CFL, MVP of the Grey Cup. Is actually trying to make that transition into the business world as he's getting to the end of his career. So I still interact with a lot of the young guys. So I have my pulse on that because we have the Watkins Board. I'm still on the board of directors. I was on the chairman for 8 years. So I really have a chance to interact with the young people and kind of understand some of the things they're going to and all that kind of stuff. On the other side, I work with the NFL Retired Players Congress. We're a business owned and operated by former NFL players. And we also donate money to the players' care. We give it to the widows and all that. So I see the old guys in, you know, 80s, 90s. And we did an event last year with Rosie Greer and Vince Ferragamo, the voice of the Rams, and a whole bunch of other guys, Ron Brown, the Olympian. And then, you know, I'm at the Watkins Board every year, and I get a chance to see the difference. Inherently, everybody wants to do something positive. They just want opportunities. They want to elevate their family members. And when you talk about pro athletes, many of them get in financial trouble and get in other kinds of trouble because they come from a lack of financial resources. 95% come from abject poverty. That's part of the reason they have the ability to achieve that is they're very driven people. The chaplains and those services are paramount to many of their success, whether it was in 1978 when I'm a rookie or in 2021. People inherently and basically the same, only difference is they make real money now. A percentage of them make great grand theft money. And then you still have those that are not the stars that make a better than livable wage. And if they do the right thing to play 2 or 3 or 4 years, then they can be set up for life. Inherently, the chaplains and those that are steady, have a solid foundation mentally, end up having a solid foundation spiritually, and they end up being okay. Most of the guys are going to do the right thing. You only will see in the media the guys that do the wrong thing. Jim Rice in 1982, there was a baseball player. Somebody hit a ball into the stands and hit a little kid. And he knew that the ambulance wouldn't get there quickly, so he picked the kid up, took him down to the doctors in the dugout, and they treated him, took the kid to the hospital. And doctors said had he not acted like that, then his kid might have died at that time. He even paid the kid's medical bills, posted that on LinkedIn, and had over 5,000 people look at that. That's amazing to me. Do want to hear the word. They do want to be led in the right way. Most of them just get sidetracked from our fast-paced, no-stop, hustle-bustle lifestyle that we live nowadays, with everything coming at you simultaneously, with access to the computer and the internet on your phone 24/7, 365, just a bombardment of information. And most of it is not good for you. 90% of it is not going to be positive. It's not going to be spiritually uplifting. It's just somebody trying to sell you something or somebody trying to steal something from you. The player development departments, those are arms of the team. So they're not totally about the player. some of the people in those apartments do care about the players. Their job and thing is to keep the guys out of trouble and so that they can continue to play and to move with the goal of the team, which is to win games. The chaplains are an instrumental part that is positive that they do. And many more guys than you realize have a solid foundation and faith in God.
What advice do you have for high schoolers or college students out there that are ready to turn their life over?
Don't be afraid. And it's okay to not be afraid. And doing things in life, failure is part of your steps to success. And it's also part of your steps to success in your relationship to God. You will fail. We are all sinners. We all fall off the wagon or get off track. But just be comfortable with the fact that God is with you at all times. And he's available. And you need to have faith. And you need to get in your Bible. And you need to counsel with people that have your best interest at heart. Find a church. There's many resources online now. So if you're thinking about and you need help, have conversations with people. There's the prayer lines online. There are many apps online that I can think of. Many, many resources. Don't be afraid to give your life to Christ and your life will be so much better, fulfilling, and it'll help you deal with the challenges of life. So even though you believe in God, doesn't mean you won't have challenges. It's just a matter of how you deal with those challenges and having a foundation and a relationship with God, it makes all the difference in the world.
Reggie, there are so many apps out there. I love the Bible app because you can literally search any topic you want, and it'll come up with multiple reading plans, audio plans, videos at different lengths to help you in whatever area you're looking for guidance in. And anybody out there that wants to get the Bible app, all you have to do is go to whatever store you have on your device and simply just put the word Bible in. It should be the very first one. Reggie, it's been great having you here on this episode today. Do you mind praying us out?
Oh, sure. And before I do, I'd like to say, read the Bible. There's another great resource, and I get verses every day just to keep me in line. I read them every day too. BibleGateway.com has got great verses on it. Thank you so much for having me here. If you need to reach out to me, it's BenjaminGrant.com. Now let's pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We give all glory thanks to you. We thank you for allowing us to have this day. We thank you for allowing us to have this conversation. Hopefully, somebody has been touched today, and you touched me by having this conversation, being someone that empowers others and being empowered by the word of God and the power of Jesus and just being uplifted. We thank you so much for everything, God, and allowing us to be here today. We hope that someone has reached out in their hearts and in their spirit and tried to reach you, and we just know that God will be there for them. In all things we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks for joining us on this episode of Our Faith, Our Country podcast. Be sure to follow us on all of our social media at Faith Country Pod or by searching for Our Faith, Our Country podcast. Until next time, later times, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Our Faith, Our Country. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode.